The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
This is Bob Tharp from Johns Creek, Georgia.
This is Ashley Tharp from Johns Creek, Georgia, and we listen to the Mickey Miles Podcast.
Hi, my name is JC Wallace, and I'm from St. Louis. I listen to the Mickey Miles Podcast.
Hi, this is Chris Jancic from Long Island, New York, and I love listening to the Mickey Miles and More podcast.
Hi, I'm Beth Torak, and I'm from Minnesota, and I listen to the Mickey Milers podcast.
Hi, this is Adam Britton from Los Angeles, California, and I listen to the Mickey Miles podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles and More podcast, your one stop for information on Disney races, Disney vacations, Disney theme parks, and more. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles and More podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean, Chris Eliopoulos, and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 505 of the Mickey Miles and More podcast. My name is Mike Scopa, and with me on today's show, back for our third and final discussion on D23 and a few other things that are coming down the road for Walt Disney World, is Len Testa and Tony Pimentel. And I'm not going to delay it any further. Let's get right back into our discussion. Let's talk about something that has recently been on everyone's lips, and that is that there's going to be a new attraction at Magic Kingdom's Tomorrowland, and it's going to take over a footprint that I've been talking about for years that's been wasted, and that is the replacing of the Tomorrowland Speedway by a Tron Light Cycle Power Run, which is a roller coaster attraction, which is pretty, I guess it's pretty highly rated in Shanghai. And the question's going to be, will the experience and the it's supposed to be a thrill ride and experience, will that overcome the fact that it's Tron and that it's you know what I'm saying, right? I guess they had to use something, but I don't think they had to say Tron, but they're going to use the Tron, you know, brand. And
I think it tells you there might be a Tron 3 movie coming out if they're willing to commit to the franchise.
Yeah, I think you got a point there, Len. I also think I see it as being a stubborn part of Disney saying, well, no, we're gonna shove Tron down your throat until you like it. You know?
Stop trying to make Tron a thing. Yeah, I know.
So we'll see.
By the way, Scopa, they're not getting rid of Autopia. Did you see this? The latest concept art.
It's going
behind Autopia. You know, it's going over the berm actually.
Oh wait a minute, you're right.
Yeah. So the interesting thing about this
is it going over the it's going over the railroad.
It's going to be past the railroad. Yeah.
Oh, I just noticed that. Hmm.
So apparently the Autopia is living is continuing to run because although it's not rated very highly, it's like a rite of passage for everyone. So parents who go now and take their kids riding on it remember when their own parents took them back in the 70s and 80s to ride it. And so it's like, you know, it's one of these things that nobody really loves, but everyone does.
Yeah, but, you know, isn't it obvious that there should be a Cars overlay for that attraction?
There's so many things that could go there, and
I mean,
why isn't Tesla sponsoring this thing yet? I don't know.
Totally.
Yeah,
I don't know, but that looks good. Hi, you know, Magic Kingdom gets another ride. Tomorrowland gets another ride. It kind of fits in the theme. I mean, it does fit the theme of Tomorrowland if Tomorrowland has a theme. There's nothing wrong with this announcement. I'm looking forward to it.
So it's what's interesting is that so you're going to have in close proximity to one another an indoor thrill ride. You're going to have like essentially two roller coaster attractions right next to one another in the same land in the same theme park. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Both enclosed too, because they wouldn't, Len, I don't think they would go across the berm like that if they were going to have it outside. So it's inside, so you can't see it. So
yeah, it's all indoors. I think it could be number one, it's Florida. You know, so it'll rain 4 hours every afternoon or 2 hours every afternoon. I think that's it's got to be enclosed, but that's kind of interesting that they put they'll put a new ride right next to one of the more popular old rides. But the problem is from Disney's perspective, every land but Adventureland has something that is super super popular, and you can't put the Tron Coaster in Adventureland, so it's fine.
No, and I know that for a couple of years ago, I want to say maybe 6-7 years ago, one of my closest cast member friends said that Bob Iger went through Magic Kingdom, went through Adventureland, and he really, really has an issue with Swiss Family Robinson Treehouse. He has an issue with that side of the park. He thinks it's being underutilized.
Oh, it totally is.
Yeah, so yeah. I don't know what's going to happen there, but you're right. They don't have anything there. Maybe somewhere down the line they can figure out something, but,
Is it ADA accessible?
No, it's not.
Oh, good point, Tony.
But that's why they can't update it, because once they update it, they lose the grandfathering. It's the same thing with by the way, there's police running outside my apartment, so whatever, if you hear in the background. It's the same reason why they can't do anything on Tom Sawyer Island, because once they start changing things, then it all has to become ADA compliant. And if you've ever fallen down the stairs there on Tom Sawyer Island, you know how tight a fit that is.
You know, one of the things that I'm really excited about that they announced at D23, that I've been waiting for this for a long, long time. And obviously when Walt Disney was living in Kansas City, he was influenced by this theater. And I think that along the line, he kept on talking about it. And sooner or later, it was going to happen. They're going to build a live entertainment theater in the Magic Kingdom. I'm not sure where it's going to go. I'm guessing that it's going to go somewhere, maybe somewhere in Liberty Square, I'm thinking. And it's going to be based on, it was described as the iconic Willis Theater in 1920s Kansas City. And I don't know, for so long, I've often wondered why they never had built a structure in the Magic Kingdom where they could have live entertainment inside, essentially a black box that they could change from time to time. So I'm really, really excited about that. But I don't know. Len, do you have any clue as to where they're going to put this thing?
Yeah, it's going to go behind. We think it's going to go behind Main Street, behind where the bakery is right now, behind where the Starbucks is. So you know, Escopa, they built those arcades.
That's right.
You know those walkways where they, spillover like on New Year's Eve?
Yes.
And they themed it. Well, the only thing that's there right now is cast member parking, managerial parking.
Yep.
And that's the idea is that the parking will go somewhere else, and they'll put it right in there, and then they'll start using that arcade walkway. Yeah, and I think it's genius. It fits in with the theming. To your point, yeah, there is no venue for live shows in the parks. We heard a rumor a couple months before D23 that there was a theater spot going in to the Magic Kingdom, and I thought for sure that was the end of Country Bear Jamboree. I mean, I thought, well, no, I mean, think about theater and flow, or it was the end of Tiki and Shin and Tiki Room or something. But yeah, so this is completely new, which is fantastic. And yeah, so the idea here is that it's supposed to be like the Hyperion Theater over at DCA, where you do really, really nice shows.
Yeah.
And I think it's fantastic. Great idea. Great venue. Looks good. Nothing wrong with this announcement.
Tony, do you know what Len's talking about? Do you know, like, when you come into the Magic Kingdom?
Yeah, I do. So I think when we run the half, right?
Exactly. You run right by it.
Yeah.
You run right through it. Yeah. Yeah. When you run through, the back with Tony Town Square on your left, it's essentially all that space to your right.
Yeah, and this is going to be huge, right? I heard 1,500 or 2,000 seats.
Yeah, it's going to be really, really good. Yeah, looks good, big, nice stage productions, yeah.
So that whole parking lot's gone, for sure.
Yeah, that's fine, though. I mean, but here's the other thing about this. If you look at what Disney's been thinking about with the Magic Kingdom, so they've essentially expanded all the areas inside the berm now, because this is one of the last few places in the berm. But you look at it's one of the last few places in the berm that were available that they used. But with Tron Coaster, they went outside the berm, right? They broke through the railroad tracks that essentially enclosed the park. Yeah. And we had heard that when Disney was thinking about doing a coaster in Adventureland, they were also going to break the berm and do it in the parking lot. So if you think about what's north of the Magic Kingdom, between essentially Splash Mountain and Floridian Way. Mm-hmm. There's a ton of expansion space back there behind Fantasyland and behind Frontierland mm-hmm. that they could use to basically add another 25% to the size of the Magic Kingdom. That's not impossible for them to do. Would they do that versus, you know, adding more stuff at the studios or the Animal Kingdom or, you know, Epcot? I don't know, but they've got a ton more expansion space once they go past the berm.
So, Len, with all this stuff going on at the Magic Kingdom, do you have any idea? I heard from a cast member, a friend of mine, that on July 4th, I think I may have texted you about this. I don't know if I did. I don't know if I told you, Tony, but they actually closed closed the toll plaza at 11 o'clock on July 4th. They said that the 100,000th guest had walked through the turnstile. But I have a tough time believing that. I mean, I don't know what kind of capacity. I always thought it was between 45 and 55,000, and maybe it, before the expanded Fantasyland, it was maybe in the 40,000, 45,000. But they said, he said 100,000 people. And when they hit that, it's like, you know, fire laws say, you know, you have to.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering if this inclusion of this particular building allows them to thin out the crowd and add more to the capacity of that that park. I just can't imagine being in that park with 100,000 people.
I've heard that the capacity was like 70 to 80 prior to the new Fantasyland stuff, and that added like another 5K or so. So,
yeah.
You know, 80, 85 on a very busy day. Maybe they've done even more there. 100K seems like a lot. Maybe that's like total people who have gone through the
seems like
the
20. Turnstiles. Yeah, it seems like about 15 or 20,000 more than I would have guessed. But
exactly. Yeah, yeah. But you know, I don't think that means that there were 100,000 people in the park at any one time. It means they've gone through the turnstiles. But still, that's a lot of people.
Yeah, and when you have a lot of people, you need to put them in rooms, and if you want to put them in more rooms, you're going to have to build more rooms. And so guess what? They announced this is a trend. I'm trying to do a segue, guys. So they announced a yet another DVC property. It's going to be called at the Walt Disney Resort. It's going to be called Disney Riviera Resort. And it looks to be a huge, huge building. It's going to be, it looks like it's going to be a huge, well, it looks a little bit like the Grand Floridian, a little bit. I don't know where it's going to be. Len, do you have any idea where it's going to be placed?
Caribbean Beach, the new Caribbean Beach DVC.
Oh, is it going to be off of, it's going to be off of Lake Buena Vista Drive?
Now you're asking me where the Caribbean Beach is. Hold on 1 second. Let me look
it's
that
Caribbean
on Google
Maps. Caribbean Beach is Buena Vista Drive, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, so it's there. It's inside the border of Caribbean Beach.
Wow. I don't see how that's going to work. That's going to... Wow. Okay. I wonder if that means they're going to do something with that road.
My understanding of it, and I could be completely wrong about this, is that this new Riviera thing is supposed to be oriented so that you can see the fireworks from both Epcot and the studios at night. So that would mean, and again, I could be completely wrong here, that it's going to be somewhere in the south part of Seabreeze Drive. Again, could be completely wrong, but there are a couple of blank land areas there where it could go. I'll tell you what, I'll take a look at that and I'll get back to you on it.
Well, I know that there is a certain, I know a certain part of Pop Century where you can stand at a certain building at a certain level and you can actually watch Illuminations and the studio's fireworks in one spot. So I can.
Oh, yeah, but you'll be, in terms of closer to Epcot, you're half a mile, three quarters of a mile closer.
Yeah.
I mean, if you think about where Caribbean Beach is, you could legitimately build a pedestrian bridge from the northernmost parts of Caribbean Beach over into like Italy. You could totally do it. Wait, I don't think they're going to do it,
to
but
Italy?
You could. Yeah, just go across Buena Vista Drive.
Okay.
that's a showcase.
It's a long bridge. It's a long bridge, but yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you go across Budapest Drive and then some sidewalks. Sure. I think you'd be fine.
Sure.
Yeah. But that's it. So the idea is what, 13, 15 stories? Tony, have you heard the exact dimensions of this?
I think it was a 15 story.
15?
Yeah.
That's a lot of rooms.
And it actually looks a lot like the Waldorf or the Hilton Bonnet Creek, actually.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
And I like those properties quite a bit. I'm excited for it. Yeah, so expect a top of the world type lounge.
$600 a night?
Oh, easily. So this will be somewhere between a moderate and a deluxe. I mean, it's going to be points because it's DVC, but still the same idea. Yeah.
Never going to be able to retire. Never.
I thought about that last night. It's like, I'm never going to retire. I am never going to retire.
I want to just spend a little bit more time talking about a few more things. Len, you talked about, I think on a previous show, we talked about Uber coming to Disney, but there are also other transportation options that are either coming or they have just surfaced at Walt Disney World. One of them was the vans, the minivans. Minivans.
Yeah, so this is Disney's answer to Uber. It's transportation within Walt Disney World, $20 per trip. You're in a minivan, mini, M-I-N-N-I-E. Get it? And it takes you, point to point. It's Disney vets the drivers, their cast members, hit an hourly rate. The minivans hold 6 people, which is more than a typical Uber. Some of the minivans can hold an ECV or scooter, in which case it's the ECV or the scooter plus 4 other people. Some of them, I think most of them have booster seats or car seats for kids as well. It's a little more expensive than Uber, so, if you fit 6 people, it's not. It's about the same cost as an Uber. For 2 people, it's probably more expensive, depending on where you're going and the time. But yeah, it's an interesting gig for Disney. Here's where I think it's going, though. I think eventually these minivans will be replaced with self-driving cars, and I think that's coming up in the next 2 years.
I'll tell you, there's a lot of emphasis being put on moving guests around and doing whatever they can to get people to where they want to get to. It's funny.
These people don't like the buses.
Yeah, yeah. And go ahead. No, go ahead.
The thing with the buses is, and this is 100% true, we've looked, it's the people who are, for a lot of people, their first exposure to public transportation is the Disney World bus system. The vast majority of Americans who go to Walt Disney World, who are not from Boston or New York or Philadelphia or Miami, who have never been on a subway or a bus, the Disney bus transportation system is their first exposure to mass transit. And they don't like it. But if Tony's from Boston, you've been to Boston, Scopa.
Every day.
It's as good as it gets, right? A bus that runs every 16 minutes on average, good, right? As good as it gets. So I think that's what Disney's trying to deal with here. Also, the buses aren't going to scale, right? You can't put more traffic on the roads. It just exacerbates the problem.
You know, the one of the things that I been reading that I'm really surprised that they're going with this Disney Skyliner thing. We were just talking about a bridge that takes you from Caribbean Beach to World Showcase, but this Disney Skyliner is supposed to connect several resorts, the Art of Animation, Pop Century, Caribbean Beach, with the studios and the International Gateway at Epcot. And it's almost like, well, instead of expanding the monorail, this is a less expensive way to go about it. But I was really surprised that this was a mode of transportation that they were looking at. But apparently it's in the works, so that will be interesting to see how that works.
Tony, did you ever go on the Skyway when it was over in the Magic Kingdom?
Yeah. And then I remember when a worker unfortunately fell, and then they said, we're going to take him down.
I like this. I think this is a great idea.
Oh yeah,
the Skyway. I think it's very Walt.
Yes, it is. Skyway in the highway in the sky.
Highway in the sky. Yeah, I think it's innovative. It gives people other options. I think I've said this before on the show. You can power it with renewable energy. Lots and lots of stuff that you can do here. Lots of reasons to like it. I'm excited by it.
Now, is this free? Is this free transportation, do you think, or do you think they'll charge a fee?
I'm doing free in quotes. So, you know, if you're staying at one of the hotels, yeah, but I think they'll charge more for those rooms.
Yeah. And how big do you think the vehicles will be?
You know, I've heard anywhere from 4 to 10 people. I still think it's going to be somewhere between six and 10. Okay. I'd be very surprised if it wasn't, but we'll see. I don't think it's going to be 4. I don't think it's that small. I think Disney's artwork is a little. Disney's artwork only seems to show a few people in it, and I think that was unusual.
Yeah.
I would be surprised just from a throughput perspective, right? You want to put at least 6 in there.
I'm thinking that yes, 6. 6 would be max, at least 4, maybe 6, maybe even 8. I'm also wondering if this would be something that, you know, you'd bring your family on the gondolas and, you know, this is going to be relaxing. You know, we're not in a rush to get anywhere. But it's a neat way of getting people around. And I think what they want to do is they want to always in their plans is to reduce the number of private automobiles on the roads there. Yeah. And they just want to do whatever they can to offer alternative transportation, for sure.
That's a great point.
Well, I think we've done quite a bit, gentlemen. I appreciate your insight. I think that one more thing that we could discuss, but I think I'm going to wait a little bit more when we have a little bit more detail, is that we know that next summer is a big summer because we're going to be seeing Toy Story Land. It's going to open next summer, and we need to have a little bit more detail so we can talk about the different type of things that will be awaiting us. And so I'm looking forward to that and hoping that I could bring both of you back to talk about Toy Story Land in the summer of 2018.
For sure.
Good luck. So, Len, as always, thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Thank you, Mike, for having me on.
Tony, see you in work.
It doesn't sound quite as exciting as Disney, but yep, see you at work.
Yeah, see you at work. So for Len Testa and for Tony Pimentel, this is Mike Scopa saying we'll see you on the road and in the box.
Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at mei-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
We hope you enjoyed listening to today's episode of the Mickey Miles and More podcast. If you'd like to support the podcast, please go to mickeymiles.podbean.com and click the green Become a Patron button in the upper right-hand corner of the menu bar. We thank you for your support. Don't forget, our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/Mickey Miles Podcast. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Mickey Miles Pod. Last of all, don't forget, if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.